Welcome to the Deep Dive, where we take apart the seemingly simple to find the complex world hidden underneath. Today, we're going deep on something you see and use every single day, but probably never really think about. The parting line on molded products.
Yeah, it is kind of funny how something so subtle can totally make or break a product's design. You know its function, even how much it costs to make. We're talking about that almost invisible seam. You can see it on, like, everything. From your phone case to that water bottle you're probably holding right now.
Oh, you're so right. I'm looking at mine right now, and yep, there it is.
Yeah.
Wow, never really thought about it before. So for anyone joining us on this deep dive, can you break down exactly what a parting line IS?
Okay, so imagine you have these two halves of a mold, like a giant waffle iron, and they come together to make a shape. That line where the two halves meet, that's the parting line. It's where the mold splits apart to release the final product.
Okay, that makes sense. And you know, our source material really stresses how important it is to get that parting line placement right. It's not just, you know, slapping two halves together, is it?
Not at all. It's way more like solving a 3D puzzle, where aesthetics, how well it works, and how you manufacture it all have to fit together perfectly. And you know, the first piece of our puzzle here is the shape of the product itself. The product's shape dictates where that parting line can go and how visible it will be.
So say you're designing like a sleek new smartphone. Where would you even start thinking about placing the parting line?
Well, you'd want to make it as invisible as possible, right?
Yeah.
So you might try to hide it on the back or blend it in along an edge where people won't notice it as much. Our source uses this great analogy, fitting puzzle pieces together without ugly seams.
Oh, I like that a lot. But then our source kind of throws us a curveball, literally. It says that curves can actually be your friend when designing the parting line. Can you help me understand that? Because it seems counterintuitive.
Yeah, right. You'd think curves would make things harder, but it can actually help hide that parting line. Imagine like a really nice sculpted vase. If you place the parting line along one of those curves, it pretty much disappears and becomes part of the design itself.
So you're not fighting the curves, you're using them to your advantage. Clever. But we're not just talking about pretty seams here, are we? A parting line that's in the wrong spot can really mess up how well a product works.
Oh, absolutely. Our source material has this cautionary tale that shows this perfectly, the leaky bottle cap. Imagine designing a bottle cap where the parting line goes right across the part that seals. What could go wrong, right?
Okay, yeah, I can see that. Every time you tighten the cap, you're putting pressure right on that seam. Recipe for a big mess.
Exactly. It's a simple design flaw, but it could have huge consequences. And this highlights a fundamental principle of parting line placement. Keep it away from functional areas, like seals, hinges, gears, anything that moves or has to create a tight seal.
So it's like a game of chess. You have to think several moves ahead and think about how that parting line will impact the product way down the line.
Exactly. You don't want a cleverly hidden parting line to mess up the whole product. You need to balance form and function.
Okay, so we've talked about aesthetics and functionality. Those are two big pieces of the parting line puzzle. What other factors do we need to think about?
Well, how you're going to manufacture it plays a huge role. In our source material, they really emphasize simplicity and cost effectiveness. Basically, don't make things more complicated than they need to be with a bunch of fancy parting lines.
So if you can use a simple parting line, it's going to be easier and cheaper to manufacture in the long run. Makes perfect sense.
Right. And the source has a great example with a cylindrical product. They found that an axial parting line, which means it runs straight down the length of the cylinder, was the most efficient solution. Less wear and tear on the mold, easier to produce, everyone wins.
So it's like that old saying, keep it simple, stupid, applied to industrial design. But I'm guessing there are times when you can't just go with the simplest option, are there?
Oh, of course. You have to balance how complex the parting line is with what the product needs to be able to do.
Yeah.
And that brings us to something really cool. The injection molding process itself.
Oh.
This is where things get a little tricky because we're dealing with the flow of molten plastic.
Right, because it's not like you just pour some liquid plastic in a mold and wait for it to harden. There's a whole science to how that molten plastic behaves, isn't there?
Absolutely. And to understand how it behaves, our source wants us to picture water flowing through a hose. It doesn't always go straight. There's swirling, it bends, it changes direction. Sometimes there are even obstacles in the way that mess up the flow.
Okay, I'm starting to see where this is going. So the molten plastic is like the water, the mold is like the hose, and the parting line.
The parting line is like a bend or curve in that hose, and it affects how the water or molten plastic flows through.
Ah, I get it. So if the parting line is in the wrong spot, it's like creating a kink in the hose, blocking the flow, and maybe causing all kinds of problems.
Exactly. If the parting line isn't placed well, you can get air traps. That's where air gets trapped in the plastic. Or uneven filling, which can weaken the product and make it look bad.
So you have to put that parting line in the right place so the molten plastic flows smoothly and evenly through the whole mold, especially in thin-walled designs where there's less room for error.
Exactly. It's all about guiding the flow, making sure the molten plastic gets into every little part of the mold without getting stuck or creating defects.
And this is where the gate position comes in, right? It's kind of like the entry point for the molten plastic where it starts its journey through the mold.
Yeah, exactly. And where you put it is super important because it works with the parting line to affect the flow. They're like dance partners, each move affecting the other.
Yeah.
If you put the gate in the right spot, it can help direct the flow so that you get a smooth and seamless parting line.
I like that analogy. So you can't just put the gate anywhere on the mold. You have to be strategic and think about how it relates to the parting line to create the flow you want.
Right. Our source has a great example of this with a rectangular plastic box. It put the gate near the corners, and that actually helped to push the flow toward the center. This gave them a smoother, more uniform finish.
That's interesting and kind of counterintuitive. You'd think putting the gate in the center would make the flow more balanced, but it's sometimes better to start it from the edges.
Exactly. That's why it's so important to understand how that molten plastic flows. It's not always what you'd expect, and there are all these little details that can make a big difference in the final product.
So we've talked about how the parting line affects how the plastic flows and how strong the final product is, but our source also talks about how it looks, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. The parting line isn't just there for function. It's also a visual thing that can make the product look good or bad. And that's where design really comes into play.
So you're not just trying to hide the parting line. You want to make it part of the design in a way that looks nice and still works well.
Right. And our source gives a good example of this with a decorative piece that had a lot of curves. They lined up the parting line with those curves and made it almost disappear. It blended right into the design.
So the parting line becomes like a little secret that adds to the design instead of taking away from it.
Yeah, exactly. That's what a good designer does. They understand that every little detail of the product, even something as small as a parting line, can make it beautiful.
But to design something that good, you need to understand not just how it looks, but also the science of how that molten plastic flows.
Definitely. And that's why today, designers and engineers use all kinds of computer simulations to help them see and make the injection molding process better.
Okay, so it's not just sketching ideas on paper anymore. You can use computers to actually simulate how the plastic flows and see how different design choices will affect the final product.
Exactly. These simulations let designers try different places for the parting line and gate, see how the flow changes, and spot problems before they even make the mold.
It's like having a time machine that shows you how your design will turn out. This helps you avoid expensive mistakes and make the manufacturing process go smoother.
That's a good way to put it. These simulations are really advanced. They consider things like how thick the plastic is and the temperature of the mold. This lets designers be super precise and predict how things will work, which wasn't possible in the past.
It's incredible how technology has changed design and manufacturing, making it possible to make products that not only look good, but are also really well made and efficient to produce.
And it all goes back to that one little line, the parting line. When you understand how it works, where to put it, and how it relates to other design elements, it opens up all kinds of new possibilities.
We've learned a lot on this deep dive into the world of parting lines. We've talked about how they affect how the product looks, works, and is made. And we've seen how even tiny details can make a huge difference in how well a product turns out.
And I think what we can really learn from this is the power of being curious, to look closer at things, to ask questions about things we see every day, to go beyond the surface and see what's really there.
Because even the simplest things can be surprisingly complex and well-designed if you take the time to really look at them.
Exactly. So next time you're holding something made of plastic, take a second to appreciate that almost invisible parting line. It's a sign of all the hard work and planning that went into making the things we use every day.
And as always, keep asking questions, keep exploring, and keep diving deep into the amazing world around you. We'll be right back after a quick.
Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Before we paused, you asked our listeners to think about parting lines in their own lives. It's crazy how something we see all the time can just fade into the background until you actually start looking for it.
Yeah, it's like there's this hidden world of design and manufacturing, right? Once you get the basics, you start seeing parting lines everywhere. And then you start to appreciate all the thought that goes into where they're placed. Absolutely. So let's keep exploring this hidden world. Before the break, we were talking about the injection molding process and how that flow of molten plastic is kind of like water flowing through a hose.
Right. And that analogy is so important for understanding how parting lines are designed. It's not just about making a seam. It's about controlling the path that molten plastic takes as it fills the mold.
And you were saying that the parting line, that spot where the two halves of the mold come together, acts like a bend or curve in that hose, which changes how that flow moves.
Exactly. And just like how a kink in a hose can block the water, a parting line that's in the wrong place can cause turbulence and make the mold fill unevenly.
So we don't want any kinks in our hose. We want that molten plastic to flow smoothly and evenly so we get a final product that's strong and looks good.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's where the real skill of placing the parting line comes in. It's about strategically positioning that line to make sure there's not a lot of turbulence and to guide that molten plastic into its final shape.
Now, our source material goes into some of the things that affect this placement. One of those is the thickness of the product's walls, right?
Yeah, wall thickness is really important. Imagine trying to squeeze honey through a tiny straw compared to a wide one. The thicker the honey, the more force you need, and the more likely it'll get stuck.
Oh, okay, that makes sense. So with thin-walled products, there's less room for error because that molten plastic has less space to move around.
Exactly. Thin walls need even more careful parting line placement. You have to create a flow path that's easy for the plastic to follow and that prevents it from getting trapped or cooling unevenly.
So it's like designing a tiny highway system for the molten plastic, right? Making sure it can flow smoothly and get to its final destination without any traffic jams.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it. And that brings us back to why that gate position is so important. It's like the on-ramp to our little highway.
Right, so the gate and the parting line have to work together to control that flow of plastic. What are some of the ways that designers make this happen?
One important thing is to put the parting line at the end of where the plastic flows. This lets the plastic naturally flow into its final position without having to make any sharp turns or sudden changes.
You don't want to force the plastic to do anything unnatural, just like you wouldn't want to force water to flow uphill, right?
Exactly. And the placement of the gate plays a big role in achieving that. It's like picking the right on-ramp to make sure the plastic has a smooth and easy ride.
Now, earlier you said that the gate and the parting line are like dance partners. What did you mean by that?
Well, think of it this way. The parting line sets up the stage, right? It creates the boundaries of the dance floor, so to speak. The gate position is like where the dancers enter the stage and how they begin their movements. And the flow of plastic, that's the choreography of the dance.
Okay, I can see it now. This beautiful flowing dance of molten plastic happening, all guided by the parting line and the gate.
Exactly. And if the choreography isn't good, the dancers will bump into each other and mess up the steps.
Yeah.
Just like that, a poorly placed gate or parting line can disrupt the flow of plastic and cause defects in the final product.
Our source talks about some real-world examples of how this dance works. I really like the one about the rectangular plastic box.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. That example shows how you can fine-tune the gate position to really optimize the flow. They found that putting the gate near the corners, instead of in the middle, helped guide the plastic toward the center. This made it fill more evenly and consistently.
So it's not always obvious. You might think putting the gate in the center would make for a better flow, but sometimes it's actually better to start from the edges.
Right. And that's why understanding how molten plastic behaves is so important. It doesn't always do what you might think. And there are all sorts of little details that can make a big difference in getting a good quality product.
Now, we've talked a lot about how the parting line affects how the plastic flows and makes the product strong. But our source also talks about how it affects how the product looks, too, right?
Absolutely. The parting line isn't just functional. It's a visual part of the product that can make it look really nice or really bad. That's where good design comes in.
So it's not just about hiding the parting line, it's about incorporating it into the overall design so that it looks good and still functions well.
Exactly. Our source gives a good example with a decorative item that had all these curves. The designers put the parting line right along those curves so you could hardly see it. It basically blended right into the design.
So the parting line becomes like a secret detail that makes the object look even better.
Right. And that's a sign of a really good designer. They understand that every part of the product, even a little thing like a parting line, can contribute to how beautiful it is.
But to design something that good, you have to understand not only how to make it look good, but also the science behind how that molten plastic flows.
Definitely. And that's why designers and engineers today use all kinds of simulation software to help them see and improve the injection molding process.
We talked about that a little earlier, but I'm really interested in this idea of using computer simulations to get the injection molding process just right. Can you explain how that works?
It's like being able to see how the molten plastic flows even before you make the mold. That's what simulation software does. It gives you a look inside the molding process, like having X-ray vision.
So you can play around with different spots for the gate and parting line and then see in real time how that affects the flow and how the final product turns out.
Exactly. And by doing these virtual tests, designers can spot potential problems like air traps or uneven filling and make changes before they actually make a physical mold.
So it's like having a crystal ball that shows you how your design will work, which helps avoid expensive mistakes and makes the manufacturing process go a lot smoother.
That's a good way to put it. And these simulations are super advanced. They take into account all sorts of things like the thickness of the plastic and the temperature of the mold, which lets designers be really precise and predict what's going to happen. This is something that just wasn't possible before.
It's amazing how technology has revolutionized design and manufacturing, making it possible to create products that look great, function well, and are cost-effective to produce.
And it all comes back to that one simple line, the parting line. When we understand its intricacies, where it should be placed, and how it interacts with the other design elements, we open up a whole new world of possibilities.
We've covered so much in this deep dive into the world of the parting line. We've seen how it affects a product's appearance, functionality, and how it's made. We've also seen how even the smallest details can have a big impact on how well a product turns out.
But I think the real lesson here is the importance of curiosity. We need to look closer at things, ask questions about the things we see every day, and dig deeper to see what's really going on beneath the surface.
Because even the most ordinary objects can be incredibly complex and well-designed when we take the time to really look at them.
Exactly. So the next time you pick up something made of plastic, take a moment to notice that almost invisible line, the parting line. It shows all the thought and effort that goes into creating the things we use all the time.
And just like always, keep exploring, keep wondering, and keep diving deep into this fascinating world around us. We'll be back after a quick place. Welcome back to the Deep Dive. So did you catch yourself looking for parting lines everywhere after our last segment? It's funny how once you know about something, you start seeing it all over the place.
Yeah, it's like you've suddenly learned a secret code. All these everyday objects you've seen a million times now have this hidden layer of design and engineering you never noticed before.
And we've been breaking down that code, looking at the parting line and how it affects how things look, how they work, and even how they're made. But there's one thing we talked about briefly that I want to get into a little more, that connection between the gate position and how the plastic flows.
It is really cool how those two things, the gate and the parting line, work together to guide that molten plastic into the final shape. Like a dance.
I know you've used that dance analogy before, and I think it really works. It shows how smooth and precise this whole process is. So let's break down that dance a little more. We know the gate is where the molten plastic enters the mold. It's where its journey starts.
And just like picking the right entrance to a ballroom can set the mood for the whole night, the gate position sets the stage for how that plastic flows and where that parting line will end up.
Our source material says it's really important to line up the gate with the natural flow paths of the plastic. What does that mean, practically speaking?
Okay, imagine you're pouring a glass of water. You tilt the glass so the water flows in smoothly without splashing, right? Same idea with molten plastic. You want to position the gate so the plastic flows evenly and follows the shape of the mold without any resistance.
So you're not trying to force the plastic into a shape. You're working with its natural flow to get the result you want.
Exactly. It's where design and engineering come together. You're using your knowledge of how molten plastic behaves to control its flow and create a parting line that looks good and doesn't interrupt the design.
And our source has some great examples of this in action, right?
Yeah, one that comes to mind is a decorative item that had a bunch of curves. The designers had to figure out how to hide the parting line without messing up those smooth curves.
And if I remember right, they did that by putting the parting line right along the curves of the object.
Exactly. It's like they solved a puzzle fitting that parting line right into the design so that it's almost impossible to see. Our source calls it a perfect blend of form and function.
So instead of being a flaw, the parting line actually makes the object look even better.
That's the beauty of good design. When it's done right, the parting line becomes part of the design and adds to the overall beauty of the product.
But it's not always about hiding the parting line completely, is it? Sometimes, as our source mentions, you have to prioritize how well the product works over how it looks.
Right. Think about a bottle cap. You wouldn't want the parting line running across the seal, no matter how well you could hide it.
Yeah, because then the cap wouldn't seal properly and you'd have leaks.
Exactly. So in situations like that, you have to put the parting line somewhere else, even if it's more visible.
It reminds us that good design is all about balance. You have to balance how it looks with how it works, keep costs down, and make sure it can be made without being too complicated.
And to help them make those tough decisions, designers have a powerful tool: simulation software.
Yeah, we talked about that a bit earlier, but I'm really intrigued by this idea of using simulations to make the injection molding process better. Can you walk us through how that works?
Well, imagine being able to actually see the plastic flowing before you even make the mold. That's what this software lets you do.
Yeah.
It's like having X-ray vision into the molding process.
So you can try out different gate positions, different parting lines, and see how those changes affect the flow and the quality of the final product before anything's actually made.
Exactly. And because of those virtual tests, designers can spot problems like air getting trapped or the mold not filling evenly and make adjustments before they build the real mold.
It's like a time machine, letting you see into the future of your design and make sure everything works perfectly before spending a ton of money and time on a physical mold.
That's a great way to put it. And those simulations are incredibly detailed. They take into account everything from how thick the plastic is to the temperature of the mold. This means designers can be very precise and predict how things will turn out, something they couldn't do in the past.
It's amazing how technology has changed design and manufacturing. It lets us make things that look amazing, work really well, and are efficient to make.
And it all comes back to that seemingly insignificant line, the parting line. When we understand it, when we know where to put it, and how it works with other design elements, a whole world of possibilities opens up.
We've gone deep on this deep dive into the parting line, haven't we? We've looked at how it affects how things look, work, and are made. And we've seen how even the smallest things can make a big difference in whether a product is successful.
But what I hope people really take away from this is how important it is to be curious, to look closely at things and ask questions about the things we see every day, to go deeper and see what's really there.
Because even the simplest things can have incredible design and complexity behind them if we take the time to really see them.
Exactly. So next time you pick up something made of plastic, take a second to appreciate that almost invisible parting line. It's a reminder of all the thought and work that goes into making the things we use all the time.
It's been a fascinating journey. And as always, we encourage you to keep exploring, keep asking questions, and keep diving deep into the world around you. That's all for this deep dive. Thanks for joining us.